And then after a few moments, we're gonna share that. Bye, donkey. We're gonna share that. There is, in the human language, not even words to describe some of the characteristics of God, because He's endless. But I'm going to give you a short few moments to think about some of it, and then we're going to just mention some of it. Right. Right. Let's begin. Let's hear. Name a few. Yes. Holy. Great.
Mighty.
Almighty.
Provider.
Provider. Wat het jy gehoor? All knowing. All right? Love. Healer. Omnipresent. Yes. Omnipotent. Yes. Say patient. Yeah. Oh, yes. Gentle. Let's give one more. Slow to anger. Yes. God is infinite. God is love. God is good. God is almighty. God is peace. God is all knowing. Now, the Bible is full of testimonies about the characteristics of God. And this morning, we're going to dive into one of the stories, and we're going to go to one of the heroes of the Bible, Moses. Now, we are all familiar with Moses. I do believe we all have heard about Moses. But if you haven't heard about Moses, quick recap. Moses was an adopted baby. Moses was a murderer on the run. We sometimes forget about that. Moses didn't want to face the consequences of his actions. So he was a refugee in Midian. Moses had a speech problem. He couldn't speak very well. And when God came to Moses for a mission, Moses didn't believe in himself that he was worthy of the calling that the Lord has for him. Well, despite all the flaws of Moses, God showed grace in the life of him. And God did incredible things through Moses to free the captive Israelites. Moses parted the sea. The Lord did it through him. The Lord provided water through a rock. Moses did that. And I think that one of the greatest wonders that God did through Moses was opening Moses' ears for receiving the Ten Commandments and writing it down. Just before Moses died, he wrote a song, and we're going to read that song this morning. And this song declares and proclaims some of the characteristics of God. So you can open your Bibles. Before you are going to open your Bibles, just want to say this. Sorry. I must confess, while preparing for this morning, this song, this first four chapters took me by surprise. Because as I've read it, and I've studied the word, and I'm doing my exegesis, that's ontleding from the text, I've realized something, that the characteristics that Moses mentions, everyone points to the work and person of Jesus Christ. What an unbelievable moment it was when I realized that. And I truly hope that you also realize it this morning. While I was realizing that, it was an affirmation, a bevestiging of John 10:30, you can put that on the screens. I, and that is Jesus, I and the Father are one. Let's go to Deuteronomy 32, verse 1 to verse 4. I'm going to read out of the NIV. Listen, you heavens, and I will speak. Hear, your earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers on a new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. O praise the greatness of our God. And verse 4 is our main verse for this morning. He is the rock. His works are perfect. All his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. Moses mentions seven characteristics about God in this one verse, in verse 4. He says God is a rock. His works are perfect. All of his ways are just. God is faithful. He does no wrong, meaning God is without sin. God is upright. And lastly, not only are his ways just, God himself is just. Now, my prayer this morning for us is that maybe you have forgotten something about the Lord. Or maybe you just need to hear again some of the characteristics of God. And as we go through the text this morning, I really believe and hope and pray that the Holy Spirit will come and remind you about who God is. So, Moses said firstly that God is a rock. Now, rock and stones have long been valued as good building materials, ne? They last generations. When you go to national, their houses, they are built of wood. And when a fire comes, you can think back to the houses in California, the houses that have been built of wood. When fire comes, the houses are destroyed. But monuments and houses that's been built out of rock last generations, ne? Now, we know that even through time, in erosion and other processes, rocks change. But to the naked human eye, it seems that it stays the same, despite the erosion, despite the change. Now, the Bible loves to compare the Lord with a rock. That God doesn't change. The God of the old is the God of the new. The God of yesterday is the God of today and the God of next week. Now, I mentioned that everything points to the life of Jesus. Right. So, in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, we read, and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Rocks are being used as a foundation. We as church are being built upon Jesus Christ. The moment that we dwell off that, everything stort in ien. Everything collapses in itself. The second characteristic that Moses says God is, he says God is perfect. Now, when you go to the Hebrew word of perfect, it means the following: without blemish, complete, full, perfect. Sincerely sound, my favorite one, without spot, undefiled, upright, whole. The work of God is perfect. Do you realize that? Do you know that? Do you believe that? The work of God is perfect. Everything that he does is flawless. And yet sometimes we think, I think and I argue, Lord, you have made a mistake. I'm going to correct you now. I'm going to do things in my own way, on my own terms, and I, as Reino, go and mess the perfect up. I destroy it. We read in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 14, we read, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away from it. God does it so that man will revere him. Man will fear him. Man will stand in awe, in wondering of the Lord. Hebrews 10, verse 2, we read, if it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed for once and for all. I don't think that is the text. I'm just going to read it here. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy was set before him. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the perfecter of faith. Now, Moses also said that all the ways of the Lord are just. Who among you wants to rewrite your life story? Right? Or maybe just a short path or a short distance or a short time of your life story you want to maybe rewrite. Maybe there was a time that you gave into destruction and sin and you got hurt. Maybe there was a time that you made wrong choices, made wrong friends. And maybe you were at a point this morning where you blame yourself or you blame God for aspects of your life. None of us can sit here this morning and say that there wasn't a time in our lives that we hoped for a different path. Lord, you are unjust and unfair to me now. Look at my enemies. Look how they smile upon me. Look how unfairly and unfair this world is treating me. Have you been there? I've been there, especially this last year or so in my life. I've been there a few times when I will tell the Lord, I will yell at him, Lord, you are unfair to me. Lord, look at the enemies. Look at the evil people in this world, the unjust people in the world. They are getting away with everything. While I and while the church of you are being persecuted. Lord, this way that you are on, this way that you are leading me on, is unjust. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, listen carefully. Life is not about how your path is making you feel. Life isn't about how you think about the journey that you are on. Life is not about that. Life is about the path that the Father has paved. And the way the Lord has paved, there's only one way, and that is the way of Jesus Christ that leads to the everlasting life. We read that, especially that, we read that in John 14, verse 6, where Jesus says, and he answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yes, it may feel like the journey, your life story, there are moments that is unjust and unfair and you want to throw a tantrum. But life is actually about the way of the Lord. Then Moses goes and he says that the Lord is faithful. Again, the word faithful in the Hebrew language means firmness, fidelity, steadfastness, steadiness. It means God is of truth, whose words we may take and rely upon, for he cannot lie, who is faithful to all his promises. Ludolf, has the Lord ever lied to you? No. Yes, never lied to you. Ernst, has the Lord ever gave you a promise that it didn't come through? No. No. Okay, has the Lord ever not forgiven your sins when you asked the Lord with a sincere and open heart, Lord, forgive my sins in the name of Jesus Christ? Has the Lord ever lied? No. We sometimes lie. We sometimes steal. We sometimes hurt. We as men, as human race, sometimes do not live in the truth, but not God. Not God. For generations and generations, God promised he will send the Messiah. He promised he will send the one who is going to redeem the world. And he did. God promised he's going to send the Holy Spirit, and he did. God promised he will be with his church, and he does. He is with his church. He is with you. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 13, we read the following. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful. For he cannot disown himself. Hebrews 3 verse 6. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. And we are his house. If we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. And then lastly, Revelation 19 verse 11. I saw heaven standing open, and before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True, with justice and judges and makes war. The next one, God does no wrong, meaning he's without sin. This is the only characteristic that creation can't match. We can sometimes be in the truth. We sometimes can be just. We can sometimes be upheld and upright. But we can never be without sin. Only Jesus was without sin. 2 Corinthians 5, 21, we read, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Hebrews 4, 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. How amazing. How amazing is that? The second last one. Moses wrote that God was upright. Now, when I think of upright, I think of a log that is upright. That one that is like 100% in line, that doesn't have a dent in it or has a buig in it. It is, waar is die bouwers? Where are the builders in this place? Nee? Wat noem jy dit? Loodreg. What's that in English? Plum. Plum. Plum line. Ah. Right. Say again. Plum line. That's a word that Andrew uses when he trains the elders. Right. So in the Bible, when you go to the word upright, it means actually to be in line with the will of God and the commandments of God. What is the two most important commandments? We read that in Matthew 20. Love God.
Love your neighbor.
Yes. That is exactly what Jesus did, eh? He loved the Father with everything, and he loved us to die on a cross. Romans 5, verse 7 to 8. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. Verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you realize Jesus wasn't plan B? Jesus was the plan from the beginning. From when God created everything, Jesus was the plan, not plan B. Then lastly, just is he. Not only is the ways of the Father just, but he himself is just. We read 2 Thessalonians 1 the following. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. I'm going to land. Moses is a great, great example of how to approach the character of God. When we read in verse 3, he writes, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. O praise the greatness of our God. Maybe the Holy Spirit came this morning and he reminded you of some of the characteristics of God. What did Moses do? He went into proclamation and praise. And that is exactly what we are going to do now. We are going to go into praise. And we're going to proclaim who God is. And honor him for that. Amen.